From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, April 8, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Tens of thousands of sky watchers who converged on Maine for the total solar eclipse this afternoon were not disappointed. The weather cooperated for the most part, and Maine Public had a team of reporters at multiple locations along the path of totality to capture the sights and sounds of this rare celestial event. We begin our coverage in Houlton.
I'm Patty White in Houlton, where thousands gathered in the last town in the U.S. to experience totality. The eclipse was the culmination of a three-day festival with craft fairs, concerts, even community meals to ensure there'd be enough food to feed the influx into this community of 6,000. A steady stream of spectators from both in and out of state arrived throughout the day Monday. Hundreds gathered in Market Square, where local radio station WHOU broadcasted live and counted down to totality.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Totality lasted 3 minutes and 18 seconds, but many, including Deb Levitt of Minneapolis, Minnesota, said it was an unforgettable experience.
I don't know, I'm still feeling chills from it. It just felt like this has been around forever, way, way, way before us, and it will be here way, way after us, and it just felt about life to me. I don't know.
Organizers said they were extremely pleased with the turnout for an event they spent more than 2.5 years planning. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White in Houlton.
And I'm Nick Song in Jackman, where the clear weather persisted all the way through the eclipse. The small community of 800 was projected to spend around 3.5 minutes in totality, the longest of any Maine town. That attracted thousands of people, including Akena Achilihu from St. Louis and Rosalind Kanu from Philadelphia. The couple stayed the night in Albany and woke up today having no idea Maine would be their ultimate destination for the eclipse.
We thought we were going to New Hampshire or Vermont, and then we found out it was here, so we came here.
Achilihu and Kanu say they are going to drive the 9 hours back to Philly all tonight.
We're eclipse chasers.
They'll be one of the many eclipse chasers traveling that way to head home. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
I'm Ari Snyder in Rangeley, where hundreds of skiers came out to Saddleback Mountain to enjoy some spring skiing and unencumbered views of the total solar eclipse. Al Martini of Chesterville, Maine, is here with his family. They watched the eclipse from the top of the ski mountain. He says it was unforgettable.
I was surprisingly overwhelmed with the natural beauty of it. I kind of didn't know what to expect, but it was really something that was a natural beauty that was unnatural in its gravity.
Others hiked even further to the summit of the mountain above treeline, where they got a view of totality sweeping across the mountains, lakes, and forests of western Maine. In Rangeley, business owners say they welcomed the influx of visitors after a tough winter of little snow.
That was Ari Snyder in Rangeley. Maine Public's Nicole Ogrisco, meanwhile, followed a team of researchers from the University of Maine, which launched a weather balloon from near Jackman that was outfitted to capture a live stream of the eclipse.
The group left Orono at about 5:30 this morning and found a sugar shack farm north of Jackman for the launch. They attached cameras to the balloon, which can travel about 90,000 feet. UMaine junior Noah Lambert says the goal is to capture the moon's shadow as it moves across the Earth.
And we need to time that up with the eclipse because we would like to be at altitude looking at a video on the ground when the path of totality is coming through.
And at about 1:45, the students, fighting the wind, carried the inflated balloon to an open field and let go.
No wind, it's time. You ready?
Do not hold on.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
As eclipse watchers are making their way south, they are already running into traffic. The earliest slowdowns are on state roads going south, according to Paul Merrill with the Department of Transportation. He says drivers will need to take their time getting home.
We hope you enjoyed the eclipse. We hope you enjoyed your time in Maine safely, and we hope you can exhibit some patience as you and thousands of others of your eclipse viewing friends make your way back home tonight.
Merrill says one of the worst delays, about 3 hours, was on Route 201 south from Jackman, and he expects the interstate to get congested later this evening. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is among 40 Democratic members of Congress who want the Biden administration to suspend new military assistance to Israel following an airstrike on a humanitarian aid convoy. Kevin Miller has more.
In a letter sent late last week, Pingree and the 39 other representatives urged President Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken to withhold additional transfers of weapons until a complete investigation of the incident has been completed. 7 workers with World Central Kitchen were killed while traveling in clearly marked vehicles whose movements had been coordinated with the Israeli military. The Democrats also urged the administration to suspend planned transfers of bombs, fighter jets, and other weapons if Israel, quote, fails to sufficiently mitigate harm to innocent civilians in Gaza, or if it arbitrarily restricts humanitarian aid to Palestinians. Pingree, who represents Maine's 1st Congressional District, had previously joined 5 senior House Democrats in making a similar request last month if Israel restricted humanitarian aid into Gaza. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
In the pre-dawn hours on Saturday, Democrats on the legislature's Appropriations Committee advanced a change to Maine's 2-year budget totaling roughly $100 million in new spending. And 2 changes to transportation funding are drawing fierce criticism from Republicans and the Mills administration, who say it will yield a $60 million loss annually for roads and bridges and upend the traditional budgeting process. Steve Missler has more.
The committee finalized the spending package at roughly 3 a.m. Saturday, but not before Democrats introduced a pair of amendments to transportation funding that made bleary-eyed Republicans like Representative Jack Ducharme of Madison see red.
And this is why people don't trust state government. Look outside. It's dark.
Ducharme was objecting to an amendment that would take an $11 million surplus in transportation funding this year and $60 million in each subsequent year and plow it into the general fund for yet-to-be-determined uses. The funding is available largely because of a bipartisan deal enacted by the legislature less than a year ago that used a portion of sales taxes on vehicle purchases and other use taxes for the highway budget and road and bridge projects. The deal was championed as a sustainable source of funds for transportation improvements, which for years have been reliant on voter-approved bonds.
This was about certainty, providing the funding to DOT that they need to fix our roads and bridges.
Representative Mark Blyer, a Republican from Buxton, argued that raiding the surplus transportation funding undercut last year's bipartisan deal.
And what's going to happen now is we're going to take that certainty away. It's going to make the competitive bidding process even more difficult for them because they're going to be later in the game to get bids.
At that point, Blyer was referring to both changes to transportation funding backed by Democrats. The second one would make the highway budget subject to the approval of the legislature's Appropriations Committee, effectively making it compete with other state initiatives for money. Right now, and for as long as DOT Commissioner Bruce Van Note can remember, it's been the Transportation Committee that has overseen the highway budget. Van Note was present when budget writers debated the changes at nearly 2 in the morning.
It was very surprising and, you know, even disheartening.
Van Note says the changes could mean cutting projects from DOT's current work plan, which is drafted on a 3-year schedule. He also worries that the annual $60 million funding cut will affect federal grants, which can provide a 3-to-1 match in state spending. And he predicts that if the amendments become law before the end of the legislative session, that Mainers will have to go back to borrowing for transportation projects.
The eclipse will only cause darkness for a few minutes. I'm afraid that what happened Saturday morning will cause darkness for the travelers of Maine for many, many years.
The Maine Better Transportation Association, a trade group representing transportation contractors, had a similar assessment and blasted the substance and timing of the amendments. Some Democrats on the Appropriations Committee defended the changes, which were introduced by Representative Melanie Sachs, the committee co-chair from Freeport.
It's not about defunding one or the other. It's about being able to look at the entire budget together.
Sachs says the changes to funding would not hurt DOT's work plan, and that putting highway funding in the purview of the Appropriations Committee would allow budget writers to conduct a more comprehensive review of spending.
We've actually talked about the fact that having a unified budget brings it into the light for all of the legislature to see it.
But as Republicans noted that the amendments were passed in the dark, that was literally true for Democratic Representative Jessica Fay. Fay, who had lost power from last week's storm and video conferenced into the meeting, voted wearing a headlamp. Republican Senator Rick Bennett of Oxford questioned if the opaque budget process routinely used by the Appropriations Committee was the right change for transportation budgeting.
And the fact that it's at this hour just underscores the absurdity of making this change.
The change could be short-lived. While Democrats approved it Saturday morning, objections from the Mills administration could prompt the Democratic majority to reverse them. That's because Governor Janet Mills could veto the budget, and Democrats don't have enough votes on their own to override her. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Robbie Feinberg tomorrow for Morning Edition, starting at 5. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.